Most of you know, perhaps some of you don't, that our elder Rob McCowan, who actually will be giving us our sermon today, will be heading off to AFCO for 4 months. Rob is going to be doing an intense training program to be a lay pastor, and he feels the calling on his life, perhaps for full-time ministry, should the Lord open up that door. So I want to invite Rob up here, as well as all the elders. If we have any elders in the congregation, I'd like to invite the elders up here. Israel will have our normal congregational prayer, which everyone is invited who have special burdens to come to the front. When he's done praying, I'm going to have a special prayer over our elder brother, Rob McCowan, to see him off. I know he's already in good hands, but we want to send him off with a special anointing today. Dear Father in heaven, it is written that the world is in desperate want of men of integrity, men who will stand fearless for truth, who will lift up the name of Jesus despite ridicule and pressure and naysay. And Father, I believe these three men who sit here even now, who kneel before you, Lord, William, Benjamin, and Rob, I believe, Lord, that these men can be that through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. For they've already knelt before the King of Kings, so that they can be fearless before the King of this world. Father, I pray that you'll bless them and that you'll keep them. Lord, it is the greatest calling to lift up the name of Jesus and to mend broken hearts. I pray that you'll equip these men to do just that, to speak truth in love, to share with the world where we are in the scheme of history through prophecy. And through that, Lord, to share the love of Jesus, which is what everything points to. I pray, Lord, in the midst of their chaotic studies, and it can get so busy studying, Lord, I pray that they will make time, make that special quiet time with you to hear your voice. For, Lord, we know that the danger is that we can fill our minds so much with knowledge and still not know you. I pray, Lord, that through their studies, they will come to know you in a deeper way, a deeper appreciation of truth, and a more receptive heart that you can use in a mighty way for your kingdom. So bless these men as they go forward. Protect them and keep them. Fill them with wisdom and understanding. Give them a receptive mind like a sponge that soaks up water. I pray, Lord, that they will come back transformed and empowered to heed the call, the very call that you placed on their lives before they were even born. For you said through Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I knew you, and I have set you apart." Bless them now is our prayer, Lord, and may we as a church continue to keep them in our hearts and in our minds over these next 4 months. This is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Am I on? There we go. How can I possibly follow that? I think that was our sermon. But the Holy Spirit comes and says, "Speak." I can't sing, as many of you will agree. And I don't think you want to see me dance. So let me instead use a gift that he has given me. Our scripture reading is John 3:16. Lord, you know those words are written upon so many of our hearts. But let us stop now and take a moment and ask your Holy Spirit to be present. And then we will continue. Dear Lord, oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the people here, for the hearts, for their love, for the open arms. Let us today understand your promise of a second chance. And let us always look to you in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You're right, Brittany. Who doesn't want that? Have you ever wished you could have a second chance? A chance to kind of turn the clock back and redo or undo something that we've done. Something that we've said. It might have been something simple, like, oh, I don't know, a certain play that you did or move in a game. It may have been that you decided to stay up late one night and you pay the price the next day. Or maybe, like a few of us, it might have been something you eat. I'll tell you a story about root beer and pancakes someday, but trust me, you don't want to do it. It doesn't go together. But then there's also more difficult, more painful things that we'd like to redo, such as words we may have exchanged with a fellow employee or with our boss, choosing to lie instead of telling the truth, and even hurting the ones we love the most. I believe many, if not all of us, would like a do-over at least once in our life. The Bible is full of second chances. Let's take a look at the story of Jonah. Probably the most obvious example. Jonah was called by God. And his answer was, you want me to go that way? I'm going this way. And in fact, I'm not going to walk. I'm going to take a fast boat. I'm going to get away from God. Anybody ever tried to get away from God? I think some of us have and not even realized it. When we turn away from the church, when we turn away from our family, when we turn away from what God has told us to do. What happens to Jonah? Well, he has an interesting boat ride, and he ends up inside the belly of a great fish. He prays, and God hears his prayer, and he ends up on the beach. God once again speaks to Jonah. If you turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3, verse 2, I will just read a couple of words. Jonah 3, verse 2. And it says, arise, go to Nineveh. God's calling on his heart did not change. God did not say, you disobedient man, let me strike you down, let me injure you, let me cause you ruin, let me give you grief, let me strike you. He just repeated the same words that he said in chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah obeyed. And 120,000 men turned their hearts to God. Let's look at the story of the prodigal son. Pastor spoke of this a few weeks ago. A young man who decided, I think something better is what I want and what I need. So he goes to his father and he says, give me what I deserve by being your son. And the father, with all love, says, okay, gives him what he deserves. And he runs off to a faraway country. Some of us would call that Las Vegas. The rest of us calls it Las Wages. He goes, and that's exactly what happens to him. The money lasts for a short time. He's on the A list, but it all goes away. He ends up with nothing. No friends, no money, no place to live. He's on the streets. The prodigal son takes whatever work he can, because not only has he suffered, but a great drought has come to the land. So everyone is having difficulty. And he ends up out with the pigs. You ever been with the pigs in your life? You ever been down that low in the slop? Thinking, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. The prodigal son, it takes time. But instead of being angry, he comes to realize the error of his ways. And he turns to God. And he says, in Luke 15, verses 18 and 19, he speaks and he says, I will arise and go. And he doesn't just say it, he does it. Keep that in mind. The story of Moses. Great man of the Bible. Would he need a second chance? Let's see what he's done. Moses was raised in the finest and the best, lived a wonderful life. Then he found out about his heritage. And as such, he decided, I'll take things into my own hands. I'll do it my way. I will rectify the situation. And it cost a man's life. And then he realized in fear that he had to run. So he left. In 40 years of time, it took to break his prideful spirit, to humble him down to a position, basically returning him to the clay that he came from, so God could mold him again, spiritually. And God called him. In Exodus, it says that God said to him, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, the last place he wanted to go. Let me go on. Story of a gentleman that my brother Harold and I discussed. This gentleman is very, very educated, very respected, well known. He is an up-and-comer. He is probably on the cover of the GQ magazine of the day. He is really something. He's a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He has power, influence, position, but he is going to the top. There's one thing that really, really upsets him, though. It's this little group of rabble-rousers, this little group of insurrectionists who are speaking what he believes to be blasphemy. He sits in the Sanhedrin and listens as a man by the name of Stephen comes in and speaks, telling them the truth from God. Does he really hear it? Blasphemy. I don't want to hear this. Close my ears. Any of you ever felt that way? Where you wanted to close your ears to what was being said from the pulpit? Has anyone ever up here said something that offended you? What was your response? Did you yell out? Did you assist in throwing that person out of the city and then stoning them to death? Well, Saul was so about himself that he decided, I'm going to go and we're going to get rid of all these insurrectionists. We're going to just get rid of this right here and right now. And I'm going to be the one that does it. So he goes to the powers that be in the religious system and he says, give me the authority and I will go and get them. And they go, great, go get them. And so he heads out with the intent of glorifying who? Himself. Because he thinks he's doing God's will. But he wants the attention to him. He wants the focus on Saul. He wants them to all know how much he can do. I'm sure as he was riding along on his way to Damascus, a smile came over his face thinking, how righteous his actions have been that others have already been put to death or imprisoned. He must have felt so good about himself. And then what happened? A blinding light. And where does Saul find himself? Well, he's kind of back in the pig slop with the prodigal son. He's kind of back on the beach with Jonah. He's face down in the dirt. Anybody been face down in the dirt in their spiritual walk? I have. And he says, God says, Jesus says to him, he says, arise and go. This is from Acts 9. Each one of these, arise, go to Nineveh. I will arise and go. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh. Arise and go. Each time, God didn't say, because of everything you've done, here's what I'm going to do. Instead, he says, arise and go. He gave them a second chance. In Acts of the Apostles, Ellen G. White describes the pain and regret that Saul of Tarsus feels. He suffers from anguish, realizing that he was wrong. And he begins to pray. She says, the prayers of the penitent Pharisee were not in vain. And that Saul yielded himself fully to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We have several of us that are leaving this coming week. William, Benjamin, myself, and Natalie Rodriguez. Three of us are going to AFCO. William's going to Weimar. God came to each one of us revealing himself. And he said, "Arise and go." Each one of us has had an opportunity. Paul heard Stephen, but closed his ears. Jonah heard God the first time, but turned the other way. Moses turns to God and says, "But I can't. I'm not able." Saul says, "Who are you?" And when the Lord speaks, everything is revealed to him. Ellen G. White writes about how Saul realized in that moment all of the wrong, all of the deception that he had bought into, and now his heart began to change. Benjamin has his story. William has his. Natalie has hers. You've heard mine over the last couple of years. I've gone through struggles. I've said some things that offended people at times. Was not my intent. But even with all the things that happened to me, God still spoke and said, "Arise and go." I remember telling Harold, "There's no way I could go on a mission trip. I can't be gone for 10 days. I couldn't afford that kind of time. What? You must be crazy." So instead, I'm going to be gone for 4 months. I thought I was an accountant. I thought I could do math. I don't know. I have been blessed by the opportunity to get to know a family of people who have cared so much for me, that they have prayed for me at times when I needed your help. In August, 3 years ago, the end of August, I came wanting, and the men stood beside me. I was wanting as a result of the passing of my oldest brother. Many of you have gone through the loss of a loved one, whether it was 8, 10 years ago, or whether it was more recently. It is the strength that we found through you holding me up and the Holy Spirit working through you that got me through. The church is asked, "Can you help?" The answer was always, from all of you, it was yes. You came forward. You showed your love. You spoke in so many ways. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me." If anybody thinks that they can't do what someone else has done, trust me, God will empower you. He will give you strength you have never, ever thought you would have. You will grow beyond your years, and He will open your mind and your heart to His Word. I've had people pray, even before I heard His calling, even before 2012. For those of you that don't know, I attended this church for 30 years, not wanting to be here. I sat in the back. I didn't want to be part of this. I had my way, my thoughts, my ideas. Sometimes God takes a while to humble us and to remind us of who He is and who we really are. We are His. He created each one of us. He took the time with His own hands to create each one of us. God has given each of us a second chance. That's what John 3:16 is all about. That's what the message means. For God so loved the world that He gave. It wasn't anything we did. I mean, we messed it up. He gave us a perfect world, and what did we do with it? I don't even want to start to describe what we did to it. He gave us a perfect body. What did we do with it? Well, you can see my gray hair. You can see my waistline. Rick says I won't have that much when I come back. You can see the wrinkles. You can see the tiredness. What you can't see is what's underneath. What's underneath are scars, right, Benjamin? Tears, right, William? Regrets, wishes for redos. God has given each of us a second chance in John 3:16. The question becomes, what are you going to do with it? Barabbas was given a second chance. We don't know what he did. He was set free. What he did from there, we don't know. God has given each one of us a second chance. He is calling each one of us for His purpose, for His glory, for His honor. He will remove away any pains. He will remove away any temptations. He will remove away all addictions. He will take it all from you. But you have got to be the one who says, here am I. Send me. And send me may be in your own home. Send me may be in your church. We have need of people in the church to step up, to help, to do as Jesus did, and come as servants, willing, loving, to be there to offer comfort. We have a pastor and an associate pastor. They can only go so far. They are still men. They need help. And they too need prayer. They too need hands laid on them. They too need to be lifted up by each of you. But I've heard things from the pulpit that offended me. Way back when, I said things to my kids. They're now grown. It's too late. I walked away. I can't go back. Yeah, you can. Forgive the words that were spoken. Heal the wounds with your grown children. It'll take time, but God's there. Open the doors of your heart and allow Him to do what He needs. Reunite me as a family. So glad to see you both. Heal my friend of his cancer. God will take care of everything. But He calls you to service. They say that 10% of the church does everything. What would happen if 100% of the church did everything? What would people see at Bakersfield Central if a church gave its whole heart? Each of us has been given a second chance. The question remains, what will you do with it? I'm going to ask you now, this is a short service. Rick will be proud of me. I'm going to ask you now for a silent prayer. And I'd like you to take a moment, open your hearts, and say, God, what would you have me do? In whatever way that is. Let's take that moment. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Be still and know that He is God. My blessing from my heart, from Benjamin's heart, from William's heart, from Natalie's heart, to each one of you. You pray for us, we will be praying for each one of you. Don't be like Barabbas and let the second chance come. And who knows what you did with it. Let this be your opportunity to find God, to seek Him out with all of your heart, surrendering everything, even if it's leaving your business for 4 months. Whatever it takes, so that He can use you for His purpose, for His honor, for His glory. Thank you.